I want to start out this morning just to give you a kind of an update on our pastor search. We had a meeting Wednesday, I think it was. It was a video conference meeting with a fellow by the name of Chris Colbert. He happens to be in New Jersey. But young family, three kids. He sounds great. We offered him the opportunity to come and see who we are. And so we're hoping that he can make it. His wife works for a university, and she's been off, and so he doesn't know how or when they might be able to get there, be able to come. So anyway, that's what our prayers should be, that he would be drawn this way. He seems to be, his responses to our questions, his resume, and his references were far above any that we've seen. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of bring you up to date on that. Now, I'd like to start the way that we always start, should start. Let's meet and greet. Let everybody know that we love them. So, as you well know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. So we're gonna make it through this, and the Lord's going to help us. The Lord is with us, correct? I want to start with a review from last week, and that is 2 Timothy 3:16. Do you remember what it says? All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And 17 is, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we always need to think about that. God breathed these words into the authors, the guys that wrote them down. You know, it's written, this particular one is, of course, is Paul. And Paul wrote 14 of the 27 chapters in the New Testament. So that's one that we want to remember. Now, I don't know why I do this to myself, but I'm going to read something. Who's doing the laughing now? Okay, anyway, this is from Derek Bonhoeffer. Preach the word. It says, when we go to church and listen to the sermon, we want to hear, what we want to hear is his word. And that not merely for selfish reasons, but for the sake of the many for whom the church and her message are foreign. We have a strange feeling that if Jesus himself, Jesus alone, with his word, could come into our midst at sermon time, we should find quite a different set of men hearing the word, and quite a different set of rejecting it. That is not to deny that the word of God is to be heard in the preaching that goes on in the church. The real trouble is that the pure word of God has been overlaid with so much human ballast, burdensome rules and regulations, false hopes and consolations, that it has become extremely difficult to make genuine decisions for Christ. Of course, it is our aim to preach Christ and Christ alone. But when all is said and done, it is not the fault of our critics that they find our preaching so hard to understand, so overburdened with ideas and expressions that are hopelessly out of touch with the mental climate in which they live. Perhaps it would be just as well to seek ourselves, to ask ourselves whether we do not, in fact, often act as obstacles to Jesus and His Word. Are we not constantly harping on certain ideas and at the expense of others that are just as important? Does not our preaching concern much more of our own opinions and convictions and too little of Jesus Christ? Let us try to get away from the poverty and pettiness of our own idea, our own little convictions and problems, and seek the wealth and splendor that are granted to us in Jesus Christ. Think about it. That's what we're here for. The other scripture that I wanted us to think about is one that we pray every night at 6 o'clock. But I want to want us to think about it. There's a last word in I'm going to change for us, and the scripture is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then the Lord said he would hear us from heaven, he would forgive our sins, and he would heal our church. That's what we're after. That's what today is all about. So I want you to think on that all through this. Now I want the deacons and their wives to come forward. We each want to speak to you individually. Right up here. I'm used to this. This is great. Kind of start to. It's over. Okay? We are Baptists. We come here as Baptists. We come here to be Baptists. We come from different walks of life. We think differently. We act differently. We've come from Pentecostal church. We've come from Baptist church. We've come from every other denomination or church, but we're here now. And, you know, it's kind of like, I guess I'll back up a little bit, it's kind of like coming to America. You know, we come as immigrants. We come and we assimilate. We learn the language. We learn the customs. We learn the culture. That's what we are as Baptists. We welcome everybody and we come to learn the customs, the culture, the language. But you know as well as I do that every person that has immigrated to America maintains their own at home customs, culture, and language. We don't push it on other people. They don't want us to speak Spanish or Portuguese or Greek. That's just the way it is. Okay? We didn't, you know, we as deacons didn't stand up when we should have stood up. Not because of what was said, but the time that it was done. Every one of us is going to have questions, concerns about a message, about the scriptures that a pastor or a teacher uses during a message. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to remember what I started out this thing with, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Those particular scriptures that are used, there are multiple ones all the way around it and all throughout the Bible. If you want, if we were to be specific, you would need to bring your dinner and your lunch and everything, because we'd have to start in Genesis and we'd have to end up in Revelations every sermon. It's your responsibility to go home and to check out what the pastor said. Every pastor, every teacher that's ever been here has said, don't trust what I say. Go home. Check it out. So, and Betty was perfect in what she said. That's how you do it. You go home. You question. You bring it back to the pastor. You tell him where he was wrong. He'll show you where he thinks he was right, and you'll either come to agreement or you won't. Likely or not, if it is any kind of a pastor at all, you'll probably end up saying, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking the whole thing out. But anyway, I'm not talking about this particular issue. I'm talking about every issue. So right now, we're looking at you, and we really need, not want, need your forgiveness. And we would really like you to come up here and show us your forgiveness for our errors. Thank you. Last week, so we're going to hear the Lord speaking to us in 1 John 4, chapter 4, the whole chapter, and then Hebrews 12, the entire chapter. So we'll listen to that, and then we'll go from there.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
Chapter 5.
Chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful.
The Word of God is drives a wedge in you that He can only fulfill. He only takes care of. I'm going to do a lot of paraphrasing here now. But we're family. We're different from each other. We think differently. We walk differently. We have different gifts. We have different talents, but we're one family. You know, we need to love one another no matter what. No matter what. So I think we're going to close in prayer now, and then we're going to have a little song. So I just want you to think on this prayer, Lord. Lord, we humble ourselves as we come to you seeking your grace and mercy, your peace and comfort, your forgiveness and healing, individually and as a church. Please open our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us today. As we close this service, Lord, and as we go out in Christian fellowship and love to enjoy desserts in the social hall in that manner, love. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this time we've had with you, Lord. There isn't anyone here that I don't think has not felt your hand in this house. Lord, if there is anyone that needs to come to know you, Lord, have them come and speak to one of the deacons. We just thank you and praise you. And now we're going to close in a song.